In the book of Romans, chapter 1, from verse 18, the Bible says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them. For his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen ever since the creation of the world in the things that are made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. And claiming to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. I'm going to ask Shani to play a video. Hi, Zarina. You're back. I'm going to ask Zarina to play a video for us. And this is a video that has been prepared and sent to us by Marty, who is the lead elder in the 412 Church in Adelaide in Western Australia. He's a lovely man, and he felt that the Lord gave him a message for us as Josh Jen. And so I'm going to ask that we play that video. It's only 7 minutes long, and most of it is greetings. So, and then I'm going to just give you my own little summary of what he has said, because he says it with such love and enthusiasm. The first time I heard it, I was struggling to understand what he was saying with that Australian accent of his. But it's a beautiful message, and we're going to play it for you. And then we're going to come back to this verse in Romans about the glory of God and acknowledging him and knowing him and giving him the glory that is due. Let's play the video quickly.
Hey Hey Josh, Jen, so good to be able to be here or be on this video with you guys, knowing that you're seeing my face, and hopefully I'll get to see some of your faces over the time. It is a privilege to speak into the life of the church there in South Africa, and so I want to thank the elders and that for opening up this opportunity for me and for us to, even though we're not face-to-face, to still have some sort of a connection, feel that connection that we are not South African believers, we are not Australian believers, we are believers, we are kingdom people believing God for great things to take place around the earth. And so when I got asked if I could just share something with Josh, Jen from my heart, what God had laid upon my heart, I began to pray, and just God had begun to show me things almost straight away that I feel like I can speak into the life of the church, and hope that it's encouraging to you. But one of the things that first up I want to talk about is that, you know, we often are praying for God to bring great revival into our lands, for fire to sweep across our nations and our churches, and for him to just move like we've never seen him move before. But in Australia, we have bushfires. We have these amazing bushfires that really are quite massive and take a hold and rip through communities and everything. And one of the things that the bigger the bushfire, or the more dangerous the bushfire, is preceded by a massive dry. It's preceded by circumstances, weather patterns that have created a situation that's caused this big dry, so that if a flame gets a hold, it just rips through. And I feel like in this season that we're in right now, that God is, you know, seasonally, the weather patterns of heaven are almost are creating this situation where there's a dryness in the world, and that God is going to move. He's going to break out in our times, in our days, bigger than ever before. And so I've been praying about that, and I feel like God has just impregnated his people. He is impregnating his people with something of his promises that he's going to do. You know, I love what God has done, and we build our faith often upon what he has done, but our faith is something about the future. It's something about what's yet to come, and I feel like the yet to come is so exciting if we can get God to begin to speak to us. And often we get God say something to us, or we get God drop something in our heart, and we aren't really clear on it. I think it's in Psalms that talks about that one thing God has spoken, two things have I heard. And often it's like God speaks something, we're not quite clear on what it is, and then it becomes clear to us. And so I am believing that as I'm speaking into the life of Josh, Jen, there's already something in your spirits, already something in your hearts that you, your expectation and my expectation for God to do something in these days is actually growing. And I want to read from Isaiah 66, verse 9. It says, "Shall I bring to the point of birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I who cause to bring forth shut the womb?" And so the context there, and the concept there, is that God's not going to put something in us. He's not going to impregnate us with something of his promises and something of the future and not bring it to birth. So we ought to be in this season that we're in right now hearing what God is saying. I'm not trying to hype things up. There's something inside of me that is so excited about what is coming on the earth in our days. We've prayed for it a long time. You've prayed for it for a long time, and it's coming. You know, we've got to make sure that we don't allow our circumstances to dampen the fire, to dampen the forest. We ought to be, you know, praying and continuing to believe God stirring up, so that when that fire comes, it rips through our nations and God does amazing things. And so as you've been impregnated, or as we are being impregnated by the Holy Spirit, I felt when I was thinking about that, I asked God, what does that mean for Josh, Jen? And, you know, one of the things that so has encouraged me with Josh, Jen over the years, the few years that I've known you guys, is how fruitful of a people you are. You are fruitful. You know, I often tell people that the church, Josh, Jen, when I look at it, is the closest representation I have seen to the New Testament church on the earth, and that I'm chasing after that. I'm running after that. I'm like, God, we want more of that. And so that's such a commendation to the leaders and to you guys over there, as a church that you've gone through and that you've been built that way. But I want to say, I heard God say this when I was thinking about that thing there. I heard God say these words, but you are not standing in it yet. And I thought, oh, that's, I don't know if that's too positive, Lord. Can I give them something a little bit more positive? And I thought, I just asked God, God, what does that actually mean? And I felt like the Holy Spirit just said, there's more coming. And often if we feel complacent, if we feel comfortable, or if we feel like we've already achieved, it stops us from pressing on to the more. And I felt like in the midst of everything that's going on, God is saying to you, you are not standing in it yet. Begin to press in, begin to take a hold, begin to move forward. Like Paul said, I press on to the high calling. I want to get hold of everything that Christ Jesus has got a hold of me for. I want to walk that out. I want to live that out. And that's like saying, as good as where I'm standing is, there must be something more, because he is a God of much, much more. So let me encourage you in this season, get something, get the Holy Spirit to begin to birth something on the inside of you and allow him to bring it to fullness. So I hope that's encouraging for you. I hope that as I'm speaking, there are people listening to this going, oh, you know what? I felt like God is putting something in me. There is this expectation in me. Oh man, there is going to become a culmination of the things of God breaking out on our earth. And I'm so looking forward to it. I believe that we're going to see some good things take place. Yeah, maybe not in the world sense, but in the kingdom sense, the kingdom of God breaking out. So wish I was with you guys. So I hope that this is encouraging for you. So wish that we were face to face, that I could have communion with some of you. Have been able to do that for over a year now. But I know that those days will come again, and I look forward to those days, praying the Father's blessing and abundance upon you guys, that your businesses would be fruitful in this time. I know it's a tough time, but that God would do something supernatural with you guys. God bless you. Lots of love from us here in Adelaide, South Australia. We love you guys so much, and we appreciate you. And I know our whole church, we often pray for you. So we believe God for great things for you, and see you sometime soon, hopefully. God bless. Love from Marty and the team over here. See you soon.
Thanks, Marty. Marty's a lovely guy. We have 8 minutes left, and I would like to do 3 things in those 8 minutes. The first one is, I want to remind you of that scripture that I read in Romans. It's interesting, this morning has been all about the glory of God and the presence of God and the honor of God and the Spirit of God. But that word from Romans says that there are some people who suppress the truth of the glory of God and the beauty of God. They suppress the truth of God by not acknowledging him as God, by not thanking him for their life, for who he is, and by not worshiping him with all that they are. And I think even as you've been in this service today, maybe you've seen the Holy Spirit moving. You have felt the presence of God moving. And so the first thing I want to do is, I want to give an opportunity to anyone who's here who has never before given their life to God. Maybe you've heard about him before, but you've never experienced him before. But today, God is calling you to honor him in a very special way. In a way that will enable you to escape from the wrath of God and to be embraced by the love that is in Jesus. And the Lord is here today, and he wants every one of us. And so I'm going to ask us all, could we just close our eyes? And I want to ask you, would you pray this prayer with me? Father God, please pray it after me. Father God, I come to you. And I want to acknowledge you. that you are God. I want to honor you as God. Please forgive me for my sins. Please forgive me for suppressing the truth that I knew about you. Please help me to honor you with my life. From today onwards. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can I ask, is there anyone who prayed that prayer who has come to God for the very first time today? If there is, could you just put up your hand? Anyone? Because I want to pray with you afterwards and get together with you. Is there anyone? Don't be shy. Just give me a quick wave. Okay. Well, the next thing is what Marty taught us. And he said, don't be discouraged when there is a big dry. What's a big dry? When the world around you is dry, when it's difficult. Like Peter, when the Netherlands is dry, like a dry desert. Don't be discouraged, because in order for the fire of God to come, in order for the presence of God to come, often what he does is he dries up everything around us. There's two encouragements for us in that. The first one is, don't wait for everything to dry up before you turn to God. Turn now, that times of refreshing might come. And the second one is, if you see everything around you drying up, relationships, work, things becoming more difficult, know that God allows it in our lives so that we would turn to Him. And the last thing from Marty is, God wants to pour Himself out to you and through you. And God wants you to seek Him so that there would be more of Him flowing through your life. Now, I would like to use an example of that we have only here in Sunningdale AM. And his name is Warren. Warren? So now, Warren isn't going to say anything. But I am. Warren, in this last year, for those of you who don't know him very well, has gone through probably the most difficult year of his life. He has been hurt and distressed and troubled, and he has gone through pain like some of us will probably never go through. And he's made a choice in that difficulty and in that pain. He's made a choice. And he said, God, you've dried up everything around me. God, I'm hurting. I'm in so much pain. But God, I have no one but you. And Warren has sought God with all his heart. He has prayed. He has read the Bible. He has gathered together with his community. He's come every single Sunday that he's allowed to, and some Sundays that he's not allowed to. Like today, his comm is not on duty, but he's here. And you know what happened during the week? There was a prophetic training this week. Do you remember that? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, and Saturday. And I was here on Wednesday night, and Warren happened to be here on Wednesday night. And the Lord was moving, and Ross Lahana got up, and he was preaching, and it was awesome. And Milani, who is one of the most fruitful prophets in Josh Jen suddenly was overcome by the Spirit of God and stood up. And she said, Saros, I'm sorry, I need to interrupt your preach, but do you remember 10 years ago, we were in a service and the Lord gave me a word for you. You were busy walking out and I said, Rosh Lahana, the Lord is calling you. And she prophesied over him. He said, yes, I remember. She said, in the same way, the Lord has given me something tonight. And everyone's waiting. And she says, Warren, the Lord wants to commend you. The Lord says, you're my friend. And the Lord says, I'm pleased with you. In front of everyone. And I was so struck by that. I was like, Lord, there's elders here and deacons and, you know, there's all these, you know, people. Why did you pick Warren? And the reason is because Warren has been doing exactly what Marty said we should do. He has been seeking God, that God would move in his life and through his life. He's made Jesus his number one priority. His closest friend is the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you, every time I come to church, Warren is coming to me. I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying this. I feel like this is what the Lord is doing. He's reaching out on the streets. He's seeing people healed and delivered. Why? Because he's special? No. Because he's gifted? No. Because he's big and strong and handsome? Yes. But not, that's not the reason. It's because he has decided in his heart to put Jesus first, and he has sought the Lord with all his heart. And Warren has become a model saint, a leader, a model for all of us, including me, to follow. And even Jesus himself has commended him publicly for that. And you know, remember what Marty said, Josh Jen, you guys are a model, but you're not there yet. And you know why we're not there yet? Because we all need to be more like Warren. We need to seek God first. We need to say, God, use me. Use me, God, in my weakness, in my pain, in my suffering, in my inability. And the glory of God works best through us broken vessels. Thank you, Warren. And so I want to encourage you this week. Let's say to God, would you use me? Peter has come all the way from the Netherlands, got on a plane, took a painful COVID test, came here to seek that God would meet with him and use him more. Could we be those same people to do that? Amen? Amen?